presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
We are starting officially with, well, we sort of started officially, but with you guys sharing. Everyone's like, not me. Your story about how your journey has been with God. How did you become a Christian? What does being a Christian mean to you? And so we are doing this, looking at this series together at Jesus working in us. And we're going to keep on going through Jesus working for us and Jesus working through us. But we're starting with this first part of Jesus working in us and starting to share our stories with each other. And when I was thinking about this and I was looking around at people, I was like, actually, I don't know where your story started. A lot of you, I don't know. Some of you, I do know some of your story. And so I thought, well, if I talk to a lot of you and I don't know that, then you guys probably don't all know that about each other either. And how amazing would it be if we can encourage each other with our stories? So let's get started with Carmela.
Good morning to everyone, my family. Yeah, it's all about him. It's not my story, his story. So, and yeah, okay, it's about me, how I found him. So, where I start? Anyway, the beginning. Is I'm a Filipina. Way back home in the Philippines, we are a devoted Catholic faith. So we brought up, especially my grandma. She used to pray in Latin, the Latin. So you have to used to have a rosary every night. So as a small kid, of course, we have to follow them. So we speak in Latin as well, because there is a book to follow that. If we will not listen or what she has to pinch. So it's very strict. Very strict when we grow up. So it's a repeatedly prayer, our Father, Holy Mary, and all those prayerful whatever. So I understand that when we pray, because he said to us that if you are an obedient child, you cannot go to heaven. So we have to follow that. So I don't know, I never learned anything until I finished school. And I know how to pray, and I go to church every Sunday because our parents as well, just to go to church. So we don't know really the meaning of we pray and we save. So as children, we follow our parents. So that was when I will grow and as a teenager. But I'm a good girl. And I used to, because we are 10 in the family, big families. So my auntie taught me when I was 5 or 6 years old, because she's not married. So I used to go with her everywhere. And I'm a favorite niece, because I used to dance and sing. So that is, I think, my gift, until I grow. So still we going to, this ritual that you have to go to church with all occasion, with all the celebration. We have to, wear a white dress. And then we go to church and all those things. So that's what I know, that you have to pray only. And until I was a teenager, and until I grow, and I really brought us you have to behave, because maybe you can go to overseas, because we dream to go to overseas. So the time, it's already, that was 1977, and I go to overseas for to work. So the time, my parents really told me to pray, because that's what we go. When you pray, God will save you. You will go to heaven. So that is the time that I really know and I believe God, because I know that he is in me. So that was the time that I go overseas. And as a teenager, again, as a young one, And I keep on believing that God is in me. So that was the time that my sister is already in Australia. So she asked me to come. So I said, how can I go? We cannot afford. But and then she said, again, you just pray and you can come here. So that is the time that really that my sister told me, when you go to Australia, find a church that believing and the you read a Bible, because we never really read a Bible in a Catholic. Yeah. So that is say that you just read a Bible and the one who sing praise the Lord. Find a church. So the time, I come for 1984, and as the time goes, and then we come, and then I married. That is the interesting story. I married a German citizen, and he's really an unbeliever. So it's a big challenge for me because when I come, of course, I cannot really speak fluent English. And so at least she just understand me. I said, if you cannot understand me, this is me. But I know how to cook. Yeah, that is the best thing. So, you know, doesn't matter if you cannot speak English as long that you can cook for me. So that is the time that really to build a relationship and to marry a foreign land and to marry foreigners. So that is the time again that I keep on talking to my mom. How can I cope? I cannot understand. So again, my mom told me, just pray to God because he's the one who brought you there. So that's what, of course, as a mother, as a children, we have to really depend to our mother. So that is a difficult communication. But hello, I made it. I made it that far. And for that, to make it short, my husband is so very strict. So that is the time that I thought the marriage is like a baby process. There is a bumps, you know, detour in the marriage life because of my personality maybe, but I know how to make him laugh. I know how to make him, you know, understand me. So that is the time that, my family big, we have children. So I have 4 children. And it is the time as well that as children grow, you know, I cannot discipline them. But still again, I have to ask mom, just pray for them. Take them to Jesus. Take them to know that there is God in them. So that is the time again that I just really believe in God. And when every time I have some problem, I have to confide to a friend. And she said to me, she was in Bethel the time, and she said to me, I'm not God. I cannot answer all your prayer. But come. Come to Bethel. Where is that Bethel? You know, we have a prayer meeting, and it's a good church. Yes. Yes. So that is the time, really, that, I keep on coming, going to Catholic, coming here. But, you know, there's a feeling that it's like, it's really different. Because at the time, my husband take me to church. It's a short distance, you can walk. No, because I will be late. Where are you going? I said, here. What is the church? I don't know. There's a church here. So that is really the time that when I come to this church, that was 1996. You are still being still young, you know. So maybe my destiny, I'm here in Wayala. It's like a place of milk and honey, as the saying goes. Am I not a fluent English? I'm Australian English, but compared to our, we are really American English. So it's difficult to communicate. But yeah, and I married that man, and he really, everyone knows that, because I used to come to prayer meeting here, and he used to come and pick me up. So the prayer meeting is like, I'm going now. Oh, no, we have to finish this because my husband is waiting. Oh, he has a shotgun because he's very... So I just follow him. I just follow him to, I'm not finishing the prayer meeting. So at the time, I keep on going to prayer meeting. So he said, why you have to go there? Yeah, because it's like I find peace. You know, I find peace in good people. And then he said, that's good. because don't go back there. Why? Because they are hypocrites. I said, no, me too. Me too, all of us. But, you know, at the time, it's really, I feel, I can walk, I can run in this church. So that's it, that it's really good that he told me, why you have to go in prayer everywhere? You can pray at home. So that is the start that we do prayer meeting at home. And yeah, that is the time really that we mold him. So I said, it's only God can touch people's life because our prayer is very powerful. So, where am I? In the time that my sister, that was Nati, and yeah, this is the place. I cannot change you, Carmela. It's only God. So that is the time that everyone, okay, you're ready? Yeah, I think I'm ready to receive God. So that was 1998. Because 1996, I'm ready. So maybe after that 1998. So until to this day, I'm here. So that is the time that, yeah, if you really take God in you, so I have confidence. I overcome that. Because I said, I'm strong. I'm overcomer. So lots of things happen when the time that I start believing God is in me. Okay, I have to be prepared. I got lots full of sickness. I cannot walk. I cannot move. Everything. Because as I believe, just focus to God's word. Just read and accept that and use that to yourself every day. So that is the time that I keep on fighting with my husband verbally. I don't know how to swear. I don't know what it's all about. All these things, all this attitude and everything. But he saw me crying and then he saw me singing. He think I'm like that crazy because why are you talking? Why are you this? Because it's better. I talk to him. Where is he? Is he flying? The bird? No. You can't see. You cannot see him because you're an unbeliever. But for me, I can't see him. Where? He's laughing at me. That's why you think I'm crazy. Because, and I believe. So that is the time that I said, Lord, you cannot change him. Change me. So maybe that is the time that God changed me. Because that is the time he said to me, since you go to that church, you change. Thank you, Lord. In what way? Because you are not an ogre anymore. You are not, you know, and everything. I think I'm powerful than him. But still, I go back to my mom and said, no, you're not. Just respect your husband. Because husband is the, they said, they're the light in the house. They're the foundation. But, you know, sometimes I said, he's not. Because he's not a believer. But in the night time, I keep on praying with him. Because he come from, you know, like he's an army. So maybe he's like a culture shock in his dream that, you know, the enemy chasing him. So he keep on hitting me because he's dreaming. He keep on hitting me. What happened? Because someone will chasing me and attacking me and kill me. So that is the time I put a pillow across my bed because he's attacking me. So again, Lord, help me. Help me. So when he sleep, I touch him and pray. And then sometimes I sleep in the floor because when he said again, and then I see him that he want to hit me and, you know. So that is really the time that I believe God is with me. Because at the time that when I pray him, he stopped dreaming. So I said, Lord, you are here. So that is the time really that I focusing to God, what it's all about, my journey, how I walk. And then that is not the end because every day of my life, there's another problem for my children, And it's a big blow for me when my son Gary put in prison because he's a long on, you know, he's a popular, he's a footballer and everything the time. So I don't know, one day there is a letter come and I never opened letter. It's a police, from the police, that you have to come. I said, what happened? Oh. So we have to go to the police court, and because he punched something, someone in its assault, and that is the time that we face the court. And I just cry and pray and pray. When my daughter said, "Mom, wake up." Why? Because Gary, they put already the handcuffs and they talk to prison in Port Augusta. So I said, "What I've done? That, Lord, what I've done? I'm a bad mom. I'm a bad wife." Still, you cannot ask God. You cannot question God. So maybe I said that is the time, the trial in my life that I have to be prepared. I accept. So that is the time that I teach my children, my husband, to pray. You know, they listen. We follow, we pray every night. So every night, every day, we pray, we pray. So as I read, it's only not in bad times. It's in good times. God is there. He's also there in bad times because he know, he show you that I'm here. I'm God. So they said it's a long way. It's 1 year that he will be put in prison. But I said, Lord, no. Maybe 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, we keep on praying. And thank you, God. It's only 3 months. 3 months he released. You know. So that is the time again I asked my son. So now you know there is God. Because he's the one who take, he put you there so that you will learn. And then he's the one who take you out. So that's really time that slowly, slowly, and I know that this is life all about. If you are obedient with God, if you listen and believe and read his words, and, you know, as a good daughter in this family, help and taught me a lot that this is, there is love there. I cannot be perfect. Everyone will say to me, "You're a Christian." I said, "I don't know, because I'm not perfect. I cannot be, have all this fruit of spirit in me. I can share my love, peace, joy, forgiving, and faithfulness, and all those things. But every day of my life, I fall down. But still, God said, "Get up, child. I'm here to take you." And yeah, so far, so good, because this family taught me what it's all about to be a believer, to be a servant of God. Someone will ask me, "What is your job?" I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm really happy that she take me everywhere. There is lots of good things happen to me. I go out there and attending, like especially that Kairos ministry, and especially if you got a mentor. And thank you for Sister Kathy, because she's the one who let me focus, because God is there. Don't let the sunshine go down, because at the end, there's a sunshine shining on me. And lots of story to tell, but I know God knows. And maybe you know as well that I'm here, Carmela, standing. I'm really happy to serve God. Even though I'm not a perfect singer, but I sing for him. He's the only one know how I sing, how my voice, something like that. But thank you very much. There's lots to tell, but I give chance to others. There is another episode next year.
Thank you so much, Carmela. That was beautiful to hear some of your story. And I know there's probably a lot of, you know, it's hard when there's a lot of detail to our stories as well. Next up is Joe. Welcome, Joe.
Good morning. So my story starts pretty much the same as everyone here, as a little tiny thing about the size of a jelly bean. And that was the first time in my life that I was rejected when I was this big. Oh, this sounds like a terrible story, doesn't it? I was an unwanted child. And the first part of my life, I was reminded of that fairly frequently. It's a pretty hard life when you get told often that you're the result of a failed contraceptive. But who knows about changing your narrative? Yeah? Yep. Because God's plan and purpose for my life was greater than any contraceptive, because believe me, that they tried hard to not have me. So here I am. And so, yeah. And now my story is one of God's purpose. Yeah. And so let's fast forward through the rough bit to when I was maybe about 8 years old, the first time I rocked up here, and we actually came in the what used to be the entrance when we did church this way. it's turned around a few times since then, and then someone, who was it, John Poyser, that said, "We will not move anymore. I'm going to stay here." Yeah, he said it in stone. So anyway, then when I walked through this door, the first face I saw was that of Margaret Zimmerman. Who's had the joy of knowing that lady? Man, oh man. She had hair down to here, covered in tattoos, had this smile that just radiated, and she was very significant in my life from that point on. Her encouragement when I would speak, I was like the only person on the earth, and the way she just encouraged me was amazing. If you were privileged enough to be here in the 80s and 90s, the joy of the Lord in this place at that time was epic. And when you have a rather not very nice life at home, to come to a place where everyone's like full of love and joy, you know, it was great. So one day somebody asked me if I wanted to be baptized. So of course I did, because I wanted everything that there was to offer that was going to lead to having a better life. So off we went, and they dunked me in the ocean. Came out thinking, my life's going to be great now. Nothing changed. Absolutely nothing. Zero, zilch, nada. Carried on in my home that was not very happy, rather scary at times. And over the years, I grew to resent the fact that I could see other people had this tangible faith that they were so convinced and so sure and knew that. And I kind of was still feeling, what is there for me? I needed to see, touch, feel, hear something. And it wasn't happening for me. It seemed to be bad or worse most of the time. So gradually I just kind of moved away from good things. The wheels fell off. The day I turned 18 was the first time I got drunk, and it went pretty well downhill from there, and it was a bit messy for a few years. There's stories for a different crowd. If you want, we can have coffee if you want to know all the details. But so fast forward through that bit, because that was rather rough as well. And then if you know my brother Matthew, around the time that he met Sharina and got engaged, and all of this family stuff was happening, and I, like, when I was still involved with my immediate family, but there was no church family for me at that point. But I was even then feeling a bit lonely, even within my home family, and watching what they had and realizing I was missing out. And so I started to seek, and thank God that I did. Because, yeah, it was a journey to come back, but I did. I started, if you know the story of the prodigal son, that when the father saw that son coming, he put on a feast. He brought out all his best things, and I'm like, there's a feast, I want to be there. So I would like to share one of my very favorite Bible verses with you all. Not this one, because you already know this one and I like to be exciting. So Jeremiah 29:11, everyone's heard, I'm sure, in this room has heard. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. But who knows what happens next?" Yeah, yep, Hayley knows it. If you don't know, you need to look at verses 12 to 14, because they are where it's at for me. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And when I read that, I was kind of like, game on, God. You said that you will be found, so can you show yourself now? Because all of those years ago, I didn't feel like he did. So I'm like, well, come on now. Now, it does say when you seek with all your heart, but I also believe in girls' rules, which kind of near enough is good enough, because I don't know that I did put my whole heart, but God met me. That with the little bit that I put in, God did meet me. And there's lots of stories I can tell you from that day on. I do hear God's voice. I do see God. I feel God. I know God. And it's very real. And I've pondered for a lot of years, why didn't God give me that when I did seek with my whole heart when I was a child? I was all in. I was, yes, all in. But the journey that I had over those years, it counts for something. And I, even though some of it was pretty messy, I feel grateful to have had some of those experiences. You have to kind of take the good with the bad in those times. So there was one night that I was asked to share my story many, many years ago, and I did. And I'm quite an open book. If you know me, you'll know that what you see is what you get. And I'd shared my story to our youth group, and I was driving a friend home at the end of that night, and she said to me, "It's no wonder God tried, Satan tried to keep you quiet, because you've got a story to share that you need to share boldly." And it was the first time someone had actually really validated me in that I was worth something. Yeah, I continued to, this is on my path on the way back to God. Around the time I turned 21, my birthday is usually around Easter time, I had been invited to go to Easter camp, and my 21st birthday was right in the middle of Easter, and I said, heck no, I'm not going to camp, I'm having a party. And I did, and it was, you know, it was a good night, it was fine. We'd had a bonfire in the backyard, and we'd been putting pallets on the fire. Late into the night, early hours of the morning, I was just sitting in the backyard on my own. Everyone had gone home or gone to bed, just watching the fire. And I started contemplating, I wonder what would have happened if I'd gone to Easter camp. And I was sitting there contemplating, and in the fire, the pallet kind of like crashed into the fire, and made the shape of a cross, and right in the center of that cross in the flames was this beating heart. And I'm sitting there going, am I the only one that can see this? Like, this is incredible, like mind blown. And God just said to me in that moment, you don't have to go to Easter camp because I'm here. And that, yeah, that was the aha moment for me of like, God is here with me. So I've seen miracles in my life. If you know my mum back in the day, that she was meant to not survive, that was in 1995. She had her first cancer diagnosis, and then she lived on for a very long time, only died a year or two ago with her fifth cancer diagnosis. So praise to God, because that was declared that she would live to see all of her grandchildren, and her last grandchild is now like maybe 3 or 4 years old. So now we all know there's no more babies because we're done. One very significant moment in that period also was here at this church, and Lynn Noonan, I was talking to her. I was working as a dental assistant at the time, and I had these wisdom teeth that were starting to give me a bit of pain. Went and had an x-ray done. These teeth were like sideways. They were not going to be okay. They were 100% not okay. And she said, oh, no, God can fix that. Let's pray. So she just prayed for me, just sitting right here, called it done, and we went on. And about 6 months later, I was like, I haven't felt these teeth for a while. So I went and had another x-ray. Those teeth had pivoted a full, you know, like completely turned themselves around. And that never happens. So I don't know whether it was just like then and there that it was done, or as a gradual thing, but it was done. And I've had quite a few of those experiences over the time. So for me, seeing God, hearing God, it just happens. And it probably was happening when I was a child, but I just didn't understand. I didn't know how to identify that. And now I do. So a very special thing for me. Well, I like eating, if you didn't know that. But when in the Bible, heaven is described as a feast or a banquet. And like, I just have always kind of been like, dude, who wouldn't want to a heavenly feast? Like, come on. Like, what have you got to lose? Just get in there. It was a realization for me, and this is where it's at, is that it's being a part of a family. Because even through all of that stuff, when I came home to my mom, my brothers, whoever was in my home, they were my family, and they received me, they accept me. When you're here, this is your family. Family are, you know, friends of the family that you choose for yourself. You create a family, and this is a family that there's always room for one more. Just to close, I had a few years ago, when we were living down in Victor Harbour, had been having a bit of a rough time and wasn't feeling very great. Had the opportunity that morning to be up very early before my family, and decided to go for a walk to the beach to watch the sunrise. There'd been some fantastic sunrises just in the recent past, and so that was my plan. Walk myself down to the beach, sitting on the sand, watching the sun come up. Sun came up. Like, that was it, just sun. There was no sunrise, there was nothing, and I was like, so deflated. I was like, come on, God, like, I got up, so, you know, like, come on, please, I just need something. Anyway, in my little pity party, I was just laying back in the sand, looking up into the sky, that God showed me a little glimpse of heaven that day. I cannot describe, I wish I could have had you all there to see the colours in the sky, that blue that I saw that day. It was alive. It was incredible. And God just said to me in that moment, you're looking for me in what you know, but you need to look up and see a new thing. So I'd just like to encourage, if anyone's feeling kind of, like you can't see or hear God, that, yeah, he does speak, and I would hope that he will make himself heard. And continue to search with your whole heart. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jo. Oh, I'm so glad we're doing this. So if you want to share, please let us know. Next week we have some more sharing, and we'll just keep going until everybody's satisfied and everyone's shared what they want to. So you can put your name down to say, yep, I'm interested.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.